5 dealing with prayer. We're going to just look at the first question and answer this afternoon. Why do Christians need to pray? This can be found on page 51. So one question and answer, number 116, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. And also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. Let's ask now the Lord's blessing on His word as we consider it this afternoon. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, You are full of grace and truth, and we pray that as we look at Your Word, that we would grasp the wonder of prayer as the opportunity for us to petition You for Your grace and for Your mercy. We pray, O Lord, that You would guide us in this. We pray that as we look to You and rely upon You, that You would bestow Your gifts upon us, the gift of Your Spirit and the gift of Your Word and the gift of Your grace, so that we may more and more seek Your face in prayer. So guide us in our gratitude. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we look at God's Word this afternoon and consider and move into this portion of the Heidelberg Catechism, we need to recognize that there are two elements of Christian gratitude that we need to recognize. First of all, there's the commandments. We've just concluded our consideration of the Ten Commandments, that God's law is a guide for our gratitude. But also prayer. And we shouldn't separate prayer and obedience from our gratitude. We need to recognize that the hands which work to follow God's law, to perform God's will naturally become folded in prayer. In fact, as we concluded our consideration of the Ten Commandments with question and answer 115, we recognize that no one in this life can obey the Ten Commandments, and God wants His law to be preached pointedly, and the point of preaching the law is to lead us to pray. The path of obedience leads to the throne of grace, because the more we try, the more we grow in faith, actually, the more we realize how little and how small even the holiest of saints have such a small beginning of that obedience. And so that's what we're going to consider this afternoon as we consider why pray, the necessity of prayer. And there's three things that I would like us to note from God's Word. First of all, because of God's command. Secondly, because of our gratitude. And thirdly, because of God's grace. Why should we pray? Those three reasons for the necessity of prayer: because of God's command, because of our gratitude, and because of God's grace. First of all, because of God's command. Maybe when it comes to prayer, you think this is a rather unusual place to think about prayer. That prayer is an act of obedience. The Catechism picks this up when it reminds us that this is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. To our thinking and to our practice, sometimes we don't think this is an appropriate attitude to prayer. We think prayer needs to be spontaneous. It needs to be a spontaneous explosion of the heart that is overwhelmed by the presence of the Spirit and comes to God and bows the knee or bows the heart or bows the head in prayer. Or it needs to arise from a particular circumstance that prayer becomes a cry of desperation as we look to God out of the complete brokenness of our need. And sometimes we think that if it's commanded, If prayer is required of us, we fear that it will lack the warmth and the intimacy, which are such a vital aspect of praying. And yet we need to be careful, because this is a one-sided view of prayer that looks at what is our response. And it forgets that every religious activity, whether it's worship or whether it's prayer, must include these two elements. It must include the willingness of our hearts, but also the obligation of obedience to our God in prayer. There is a may, I may pray, but there's also a must, I must pray. And I must pray not because of my character, but because of God's character, because of who He is. Think about this in terms of the may and the must of prayer, the may pray and the must pray of our devotion to God. Think of the love between parents and children, or between a husband and a wife. There is love that is naturally there. You see it in a mother who holds her infant child. There's this bond of soul with this child. And that's naturally there. But there is also a love which God commands. A love for those times when that cute little infant no longer is so cute, and can be rather obnoxious and disobedient and rebellious. And it's at those times that God says, even when you don't feel like it, you need to love. Or a husband and a wife. There's all the emotional bonding that is found in the early days of their relationship, but as they go through the years, that feeling is tested and strained. And it's in those times that we need to go back to God's Word and say, particularly as husbands, I need to love my wife because that is good and that's what God commands. Well, so too with prayer. To pray only when you feel like it. To pray only when you see or feel a need, that's going to shortchange the way God wants us to use prayer. We need to guard against that temptation. How often we need to pray when we don't feel like it. Because the devil knows that if it's only when we feel like it, he has enough opportunity to distract us, to absorb us, and so many other things that we'll be too busy to pray. And that's why God commands it. We pray. Prayer is necessary because God, in His love for us, in a recognition of our condition, knows that we have to have our hearts trained to pray always. I may pray. That's a glorious privilege of every child of God. I may approach the throne of grace. I have these glorious opportunities, and so often they spring up in our circumstances that we recognize this, but I must pray. I must pray for my life's sake, because God knows that as He gives this command, God requires us to pray to Him because our life depends on it. That's what we learned from Daniel, isn't it? You remember Daniel in the lion's den? You remember the command as to why Daniel ended up in the lion's den? It was because Daniel was rising in the ranks of Darius, the Medo-Persian emperor, and his enemies, those who were his fellow counselors in his job and his position, were envious. And they knew the only way they could snare him is if there was a law that was proposed that would forbid his religious expression. And as soon as Daniel heard the king's command, as the king was tricked by the other counselors to forbid praying to any other god than the Medo-Persian god, they knew they had Daniel. Because Daniel recognized not simply that he may pray, but that he must pray. Would you feel like praying? Do you recognize that that's God's command for you, that you must pray and your life depends on it? When prayer would be regarded as illegal? If prayer were that activity which would place you in the lion's den, would it be more than a feeling that would generate your prayer? Would you be like Daniel, who immediately when he hears this desire to prohibit a relationship with God, goes into his inner room, opens the windows to Jerusalem, and bows the knee, knowing that he's going to end up in the lion's den, that he must pray? Who of us would not have rationalized a more careful approach? Daniel, don't open the windows. Do it in secret. Do it at a time that's convenient. Do it in a way that will protect you. But Daniel knew that God commanded this. And even greater than Daniel, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, when all the hosts of his friends and his fellow countrymen and the powers of evil were being allied against him, and he was overwhelmed such that he sweat out great drops of blood, cried out to his Father, "I must pray. I must pray. I must be about my Father's business." Prayer is what God commands us to. Why pray? Because God requires it. Prayer is absolutely necessary. And that's why God requires it of us. But prayer is also necessary because of our gratitude. That's secondly. Prayer is necessary because God requires it, because it's commanded of the Lord. But prayer is also necessary because of our gratitude. And now we've come a long way down the path of salvation. The catechism reflects a maturing and a growing in the faith and in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the catechism says prayer is the most important part of thankfulness. Prayer is the most important part of thankfulness. Prayer is the practical response of our gratitude to God's salvation, for the restoration of our relationship with Him. That's our comfort. That's our confidence, that God, through Jesus Christ, has restored communication between us and Himself, such that now He summons us to enter and to come into His inner sanctuary and to approach His throne of grace. And He commands us to speak with Him because of our gratitude. Because of our gratitude for all that He has done and all that He is for us. For the Christian, for the one who knows his sin and misery, who recognizes the grace that is found in Jesus Christ, the grace that is freely given, the grace that is given without our deserving it, without our earning it, is secured solely for the glory of God. Our gratitude needs to be reflected in our praying. And here again, how refreshing and encouraging this is. How directive this is for us. There's so much that we need to do. And the Catechism reminds us and encourages us that what is the measure of your gratitude to God? What is the measure of your response of thankfulness for everything that God has done for you? It's not a whole host of activities. It's not a whole host of works that we do. It is one upward activity. You want to know how grateful someone is? Do you pray? Does your awareness of your sin and misery and of the smallness of your obedience cause you to be overwhelmed with joy and humility that you can't hold back from prayer to God? This puts things in their proper order, doesn't it? Particularly in a day and age where output and performance is the measure of success, and prayer is put on the shelf because it doesn't seem to do anything. This reminds us that the most important response that we are to have to a God who is so gracious to guilty sinners like ourselves is to come to Him in communication. Before we go out to work, before or as we're going to perform our service, we need to go to God in prayer. One commentator on the Catechism said it very well, and I'd like to repeat it here. Before we plunge into outer space to fulfill the cultural mandate and subdue universes, we need to retreat to our inner chamber to pray. To pray. We have the saying, ora et labora, which means pray and work. But if we're honest with ourselves, we twist this around, don't we? And we work and pray. We view prayer as a last resort. When our attempts fail or we are overwhelmed with our incapacity, then we pray. But it's not work and pray, it's pray and work. Pray and work. Prayer is primary. It's the most important part of our gratitude. And this will change our view of prayer from a way of getting from God to a way of giving to God. Giving to God our weakness. Giving to God our strength. Giving to God ourself, with repentance as well as request, of coming near to the judge of all things, the judge who does not rule unjustly, and constantly petitioning Him to fulfill and accomplish His purpose and our purpose. Jesus uses this profound parable to remind us of the need. Did you notice that? In the opening verse, He told them this parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. To not lose heart because we're God's chosen children who cry to Him day and night. Will He delay long over them? No, He won't. He's not that sort of an unjust judge. He's not the sort of judge that needs to be cajoled and reminded. He is perfectly just. And when the Son of Man comes, the point is there's not going to be little faith, but will He find that sort of faith? A faith that is imploring and beseeching Him. With repentance as well as request to those who pray continually and ask God for the gifts and thanking Him for them. Praying for the work of His Holy Spirit. Prayer is necessary because of our gratitude. Prayer is necessary because God has commanded it. But prayer is also necessary because of our need of God's grace. And this is His assurance. His assurance is that He's not stingy or unjust, but He gives His grace to those who pray continually and groan inwardly. Prayer, very simply, is communication with God. It's about our relationship with Him. It's a need and demonstrated by our need of fellowship with Him. We've been created for communication with Him. And this is what we're called to groan inwardly and to pray continually. There's this constant dialogue through life between God and ourselves about everything and every situation that we are engaged in. Because our need is great as it is urgent. Asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. Do we have a gratitude to God when we have prayed for the way He has answered our prayers, the way He has heard our prayers? Our need is so great. Our need for grace, our need for His Holy Spirit, because we can accomplish nothing in and of ourselves. And that isn't to frustrate us. That is to focus us upon our need of prayer. While you breathe, do you pray? The point of this is not to burden us with guilt, but to remind us of our daily, constant need. The most important need of our gratitude is to come. Come to the Father we know. Come to the Judge who rules on behalf of His people. Come to the Lord who has all grace. Come to the Lord who knows better than we do what we most desperately need in life. And that's not what we feel, it's what He commands. And approach Him with gratitude in prayer. Why pray? Christian, why do you pray? Maybe as we've reflected upon this, because prayer is the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us, and also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. Maybe a better question is, Christian, why don't you pray? Why are you not praying? May God's people be known as a people of prayer. May this place be known as a house of prayer. Why not pray? If you're not praying, if you're not seeking, it's because you think you don't need to. So who do you think you are? God's Word reminds us, it summons us back. Who do you think you know? Who are you as a child of the Father? What is the most splendid privilege, the most profound commandment the Father could give to us? Seek me with all your heart. Pray, and you will find me. That's why we need to pray. Amen. Let's now pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the parable of the persistent widow. And we're rebuked by Your Word as our persistence so frequently wanes. And we think we can work to accomplish Your will. Thank You for the gospel, which reminds us of the work of Jesus Christ and what He has accomplished. Lord, help us to learn from our Savior, who in His greatest hour spent His time before Your face in prayer, knowing the certainty of the outcome, but recognizing as well the certainty of the command to seek Your face. Lord, let this prompt us to think differently about prayer, to be reminded that we need to pray because You command it, You require it of us, but also that You promise to bless it with Your grace, to bestow upon us all the gifts that we need, so that in our gratitude we may make prayer a priority in our lives. In our walk, in our work, in our play, to pray because of who You are. Help us in this, we pray. Teach us to pray. Enable us to pray. And hear us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. In response, let's now stand and sing number 143. Hear now my prayer, O Lord, my cry for mercy heed. In truth and righteousness draw near to meet my need. Note stanza 2, the foe has hounded me and crushed me to the ground. In darkness made me dwell like those in death long bound. And so my spirit is afraid. My heart within me is dismayed. And we turn to God in prayer. Stanza 5, to you I lift my soul. So let's stand and sing these numbers as we commit ourselves to pray to our God. We'll sing stanzas 1, 2, and 5 of 143. Doxology after the benediction will be number 525, now unto him who is able to keep you. What a blessing to know, and as we go into the week to pray, to know that he will keep us and hold us in his will. Depart with his blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.